لا أرض أرضاه. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: واذكر ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا. First of all, we would like to congratulate all those brothers and sisters from our community who are going for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your safar and trip successful to perform this great duty and accept your amal and ziyarat, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to perform our duties towards the Holy Kaaba and towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, the duty and obligation of Hajj is directly related to the Imam of the time and the most influential people who are the Mustati and the rich people have been invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to play their influential role collectively under the leadership of the Imam, who always arrives at Kaaba on the occasion of Hajj and who is always present in every Hajj. So we renew our oath of allegiance with the Imam at the occasion of Hajj and make our pledge that we will continue to work for your mission throughout our life. We were discussing about khutbah number 220 of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahd al-Balagha. Where he had been talking about the Alim-e Rabbani, the Ulama-e Rabbani, those scholars who are Rabbani, like I already mentioned to you and discussed that in detail about the definition of Alim-e Rabbani and what and how we describe them. And in this khutbah, he says that ma baraha lillah azzat ala'uhu fil burhat ba'd al burha wa fi azman al fatarat ibadun najahum fi fikrihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all times has servants who Allah talks, Allah whispers in their mind. Najahum fi fikrihim, Allah whispers in their mind. وَكَلَّهُمْ كَلَّمَهُمْ فِي ذَاتِ عُقُولِهِمْ, and Allah talks to them in their minds, in their intellects. فَاسْتَصْحَبُوا بِنُورِ يَقْضَةٍ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَالْأَفْئِدَةِ, So they are the ones who are living. They are with the Noor and divine light. They are always awake in their listenings, in their vision, and in their hearts. And not just they themselves are awake in their listening and in their vision and in their hearts, but actually they are the ones who make other people recall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ayyam. يُذَكِّرُونَ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ وَيُخَوِّفُونَ مَقَامَهُ. They are the ones who make other people recall the ayyamullah. All those occasions where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided any ni'mat to the human being, and all those occasions when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided any nikmat and azab over the human beings, all those events are ayyamullah. So they are servants of Allah who are constantly recalling, reminding the society about those occasions when Allah provided His nikmat, and those occasions when Allah provided His bala and test over the people. And this is how we recall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make the people fear Allah. بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْأَدِلَّةِ فِي الْفَلَوَاتِ. These scholars, you know, ulama, rabbaniyin, these scholars are the ones who are just like the guides in the deserts. You know, if you are in a desert, sometimes if you go and walk in the desert, you find that, you know, a desert doesn't have signs and marks and you know, the, like we have the road signs and all that, that which can help you discover which path you are supposed to go. It's a barren desert without any tree, without any sign, without any markings, and you are in the middle of the desert. So in such a situation, if you find a guide in the desert, this is basically very vital for your survival. Otherwise you are just stuck in the barren desert in the middle of nowhere. So these ulama rabbaniyin are the ones who are like the guides in the deserts, and whosoever man akhadha al-qasda hamidu ilayhi tariqahu wa basharuhu bin najat. Whosoever takes the right direction, takes the right qasd and irada towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who they praise Him and His path and give him the basharat of success. وَمَنْ أَخَذَ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا زَمُّوا إِلَيْهِ الطَّرِيقَ وَحَذَّرُوهُ مِنَ الْأَهْلِكَ. Whosoever takes any deviation, right or left, they are the ones who warn him and condemn his path. And وَكَانُوا كَذَلِكَ مَصَابِيحَ تِلْكَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَأَدِلَّةَ تِلْكَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. And they are the ones who are the guides of those darknesses. So these ulama rabbaniyin have been there and are there in all times. That's the arrangement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَإِنَّ لِلذِّكْرِ لَأَهْلًا أَخَذُوهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بَدَلًا. The zikr and remembrance of Allah requires ahliyat. There are some people who are ahl of the zikr of Allah, and they take the zikr of Allah as a replacement from the dunya. Instead of getting engaged and mashghool with this dunya, they take the zikr of Allah. فَلَمْ تَشْغَلْهُمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْهُ. Neither the business nor transaction engages them away from the zikr of Allah. يقطعون به أيام الحياة ويهتفون بالزواجر عن محارم الله في أسماء الغافلين. That's how they are passing the days of their life, and they are the ones who are calling other people to keep away from the harams, and those who are ghafil and ignorant towards their duty towards Allah, these are the ones who are calling the rest of the people to keep away from the harams. ويأمرون بالقسط ويأتمرون به. They ask the people to do the justice, and they follow themselves. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They keep away from the evil and the wrongs and the indecencies and the wrongs. وَيَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. And they themselves abide by that. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَطَعُوا الدُّنْيَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَهُمْ فِيهَا. So as if these people have already reached akhirat, although they are in dunya. they have already reached Akhirat, as if they have reached Akhirat despite the fact that they are still in dunya. What? فَشَاهَدُوا مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. So they saw beyond this dunya. فَكَأَنَّمَا اِتَّلَعُوا غُيُوبَ أَهْلِ الْبَرْزَخِ فِي طُولِ الْإِقَامَةِ فِيهِ. As if these people saw the hidden realities and the unseen things of the people of Barzakh during their duration in that level, in that stage. وَحَقَّقَتِ الْقِيَامَةُ عَلَيْهِمْ عِدَاتِهَا. And Qiyamah has already shown them the realities of its preparations. فَكَشَفُوا غِطَاءَ ذَلِكَ لِأَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. Now that these people have, as if they have seen all those realities, they will remove the curtain for the rest of the people of dunya to come and have a look at those realities of barzakh and those realities of akhirat. Hatta ka'annahum yarawna ma la yaran nas. So as if these people will be seeing, they are seeing what the rest of the people don't see. Wa yasma'una ma la yasma'un. And they see what the rest of the people don't see. You know, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh, he used to say that, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam would appear, there will be 313 people of his elite supporters. This is not the total number of his army. The total number of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's army is much more than that. This, our fuqaha say that this is the elite class of his supporters. The top notch supporters of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam are 313. So when these 313 are the people who will join Imam Mahdi alayhi salam at Kaaba at the first time when he would appear, when the nida of Jibreel, as-sayha, would be there for the second time. You know, we have two sayha and two nida, one in the month of Ramadan before the arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in Muharram on Ashura, and one on the day when he would appear on the Friday. So he would appear at the time of Fajr on the Friday, and that at that time there will be another nida of Jibreel, and whosoever, everybody is going to listen to that nida. Yasma'u man bil mashriq wa man bil maghrib. Everybody bilisanihi. Everybody would listen in their own language. There is no excuse for somebody to say, well, I didn't listen. So the hujjat will be fulfilled. Everybody will listen. The first number of people who will, after listening the voice of Jibreel, will join Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will be 313, the elite force of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And later on, rest some of the other people will also join. And some people will join further late. So what Ayatullah al-Ulma Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that when these 313 people will join Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Imam will say something to them and all of them will go back. And they get dispersed into different corners of the world. And after a while, they will then come back and join the Imam once again. He used to say, I know that statement, what Imam Mahdi alayhi salam would say to those 313. We don't know that statement. We have no clue about what Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is going to say to those 313. Look at what Imam Ali is saying in this khutbah 220. كَأَنَّهُمْ حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ مَا لَا يَرَى النَّاسِ. These personalities see the, as if they see what the people don't see. وَيَسْمَعُونَ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. They listen to what the people don't listen. فَقَدْ حَفَّتْ بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Angels come down and basically surround them. These people, personality, are surrounded by angels. That means angels are always at their service. They are always surrounded by angels. Angels are with them. وَتَنَزَّلَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ السَّكِينَةِ. And the peace and sakina and itminan has arrived upon them. Peace or sakina or itminan. وَفُتِحَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. And doors of heaven have been opened up for them. وَأُعِدَّتْ لَهُمْ مَقَاعِدُ الْكَرَمَاتِ. and positions of karamat have been prepared for them. في مقام اطلع الله عليهم فيه, in a place where Allah knows about that. No one else knows about that place other than Allah. فَرَضِيَ سَعْيَهُمْ وَحَمِدَ مَقَامَهُمْ. So you don't find this description about any alim. We have a lot of fadilat in the Quran and in the hadith of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt about ulama. Isn't that right? You know, النَظَرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ الْعَالِمِ عِبَادَةً, looking at the face of alim is ibadah. Al-ulama warasatul anbiya, ulama are the inheritors of the prophets, ulama ummati ka anbiya bani Israel, scholars of my ummat are like the anbiya of bani Israel, they are similar to the anbiya of bani Israel. Kaf lit tashbih, it proves similarity in Arabic. So many fadilat, but you find when it comes to the alim al-rabbani, the description that we find in the hadith is way deeper and different as compared to any regular scholar. That's why our scholars say that we have two kinds of fiqh and we have two kinds of fuqaha. One is al-fiqh al-jali. We have this fiqh al-jali and zahir, the open fiqh, the same fiqh that we talk about every now and then, ilm al-fiqh, laws of Islamic jurisprudence belonging to the Sharia, which was revealed on the Holy Prophet. So this is part of the revelation and wahi, and this is what we learned through the Holy Prophet. This is, ilm tashri'i. This is the ilm tashri'i that we learn, and this is any scholar who becomes a mujtahid and faqih, and he extracts from the source, from the manabi', from the madarik, he can extract and do istimbat and istikhraj, an extraction of the ahkam of Allah directly from the sources, from Quran and Hadith and other authentic sources. This kind of scholar is called a faqih. This is what we call al-fiqh al-jali. This is the open fiqh. And then we have the al-fiqh al-khafi, the hidden fiqh. And the hidden fiqh is the term, is istilah, which is used for fiqh al-nafs. Fiqh al-nafs is what we are talking about in these lessons. Fiqh al-nafs, that means those of the scholars who are alim al-rabbani. This alim al-rabbani is higher than fuqaha. We are not talking about al-fiqh al-jali. We are talking about al-fiqh al-khafi. Not every faqih has the access to al-fiqh al-khafi, which is fiqh al-nafs. And actually the word fiqh and the word fiqh in Arabic means al-fahm al-amiq. That means understanding something with depth. So faqih, my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi hafazahullah, he was saying that in the dar-farhange Quran or Hadith, in the dictionary of Quran and Hadith, in the terminology of Quran and Hadith, in the istilah of Quran and Hadith, a faqih is that person who has in-depth understanding of the ma'arif and teachings of Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. A faqih in the dictionary of Quran and the hadith of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is not the person who becomes mujtahid. Because you may become a mujtahid, but you may be a mujtahid, but you are not mutafaqqih fid deen. What Islam is asking us is becoming istafaqquh fid deen. Tafaqqahu wa illa fa antum a'rab. What Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, that learn in depth, otherwise you are a'rab. A'rab means Bedouin desert dwellers who have no literacy, no fahm. So basically what Islam is asking us, becoming a mujtahid is a very good thing. We respect all the mujtahids. It's, we must respect all the mujtahids. That's not the point. The point is that this is not the end of the story. This is the whole point. Becoming a mujtahid is not the end of the story. There is still a long way to go. Because now you know al-fiqh al-jali. Now you have information about the open fiqh, al-fiqh al-jali, but the fiqh al-nafs and al-fiqh al-khafi, the hidden fiqh is still remaining. So if you have access to the knowledge of the hidden fiqh, in addition to the open fiqh, then actually you become alimi rabbani. This is what we are talking about. So that's why Ayatullah al-Uqma Sayyid Hussain, Husayni Tahrani, one of our great urafa, he has divided the faqih into two categories. We have faqih who became a scholar about al-fiqh al-jali, the open fiqh that we call the laws of Islamic jurisprudence, and we have faqih about al-fiqh al-khafi, that means the hidden fiqh regarding the fiqh al-nafs. That one is about the body, and this one is about the soul. The fiqh al-khafi, fiqh al-jali, the open fiqh, has a very clear path to tread. The qutta' al-tariq, the dacoits, the obstacles, the mawani' in the path are less and obvious and clear and wazi'. Whereas when it comes to al-fiqh al-khafi and fiqh al-nafs, the paths are different. It's not one path, there are several subul and several parts, and also the obstacles, our scholars say the obstacles are a lot. The marav and the illness of the soul which needs to be treated, there are several and various kinds of illnesses. Diagnosing the illnesses that a person's soul has is a very hard job. The amount of treatment and healing and cure and dawa which requires to be provided to the patient in fiqh al-nafs is very hard to determine the measure and miqdar and amount of dawa and medicine which is required. For every person is different. It's not a uniform thing. And the ma'rifat of the marav is hard. The tarbiyat process, the cleanliness process is tough. The obstacles are much more, and recognizing the obstacles that are there in our path is also very tough. So now you find these so many wazih differences as compared to someone who is learning the al-fiqh al-jali, the open fiqh, which we learn through the sharia, the revelation of the Holy Prophet. Unfortunately, nowadays we don't even find a lot of people who are ready to learn al-fiqh al-jali, the open fiqh. You know, we have very, very few people going from the United States where we are living. Very few people are sending their children to become an alim. We have a grave shortage of ulama in the West, in Europe and North America. We have multiple centers, you know, more than 15 and 6 or 16 centers in the United States, where there are full centers but there is no alim. The whole states are vacant of any alim. In Europe you find in whole country there is no alim. Not one or two, several countries. And there's lots of populations of our community living there. So right now the situation is our situation is such that we have a grave shortage of fuqaha who have the knowledge and ilm of al-fiqh al-jali. Now what to talk of those of the mutafaqqihin who have the knowledge of al-fiqh al-khafi and fiqh al-nafs. Of course it's further less, but that has been the case, you know. I was talking to somebody, he said that Maulana, well, if I send my child to become an alim, how much money can he make? in the time of Sheikh Bahauddin Al-Amiri, rahmatullahi alayh, one of our great maraji from Lebanon, he used to live in Isfahan. He was the mudir of the Hawza of Isfahan. So it was a Shia kingdom in Iran. And in time of Sheikh Baha'i in Isfahan, Isfahan was the biggest Hawza in those days. In those days it was Isfahan, in the time of Sheikh Baha'i, rahmatullahi alayhi. One of our greatest scholars, Sheikh Baha'i is a unique scholar of Shia history, with great services for Islam. So Sheikh Baha'i was the head of the Hawza of Isfahan. The king, the Shia king in Iran, visited the madrasa of Sheikh Baha'i, and he found there are very few children. And he said to Sheikh Baha'i, why do we have so less children? Well, Sheikh Baha'i said, well, if you want the madrasa to be full, then you have to obey what I would say. And you will find the madrasa will become full. He said, okay, the king was a Shia. And I said, okay, I will follow whatever you want, I will do it. So Sheikh Baha'i said, well, tomorrow morning when I get out of my house for going towards the madrasa, you have to be at my door before I get out of the house, and you have to, with all your entourage and all your people of your, you know, in your group, you know, there are lots of people with the king. When the king goes out, there are a lot of people with him. With all your people and with your horse and all that, you will have to come at my door, and I will ride your markab, your the animal that you ride. I will ride it, and you will hold the reins, the zimam, the reins of that horse, and you will walk, and I will be riding. And you have to take me through the market from where people are available. Walk me through the marketplace from the city center, and all the way, then you will bring me back to the madrasa, and I will get down and I'll go to the madrasa. That's it. And when in the time, in the evening time, when it's time for me to get out of the madrasa and go back to my home, you have to be present at the door of the madrasa again with all your people. In the same way, I will be riding that animal, and you will hold the reins in your hand, and you will walk me through all the way through the market in front of the whole community, let them see, and take me to my house. The king agreed, and he did the same. So finally, after a few months, when king came back to the madrasa, he found there the madrasa is now full with tullab. What we learn, brothers and sisters, in the light of this situation, is that people are short-sighted. People do not have the wa'i and basirat in sight. People look towards the material things. People have maddi, material criterias in their life. They are looking for a good fortune, a good life, lifestyle, money, you know, quality of life. So when they find that the alim has such a dignity and honor in the society, that the king is basically walking in front of the alim, holding the reins, and the alim is riding the markab of the king, and it has so much izzat and sharaf, people will send their children. If tomorrow, you know, let's suppose if tomorrow the United States government announces, federal government announces a plan, whosoever from the Isna Ashari Shia communities goes to, from Europe and North America, whatever, any Shia person who sends his one son to Hausa of Qom, we will give him 175,000 annual salary, which is tax exempt from IRS. Just imagine for one moment, if the federal government of United States announced, if you send one son of yours to the Hausa of Qom, we will pay $175,000 tax-exempt salary annually to your son. How many people will send their children? Can you imagine? I can imagine very easily. And if you send two sons, you can imagine how much money you can make. We are talking about Ferraris and Lamborghinis. Isn't that right? Well, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not to make this happen. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not make this happen. So that those people who go for money, they should better not go there. Because this is the path of Anbiya. This is the path of, you know, al-ulama warathatul Anbiya. Scholars are the inheritors of the Anbiya. Like Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi, he used to say that this madhab, this path, this religion is a red line throughout the history. Red line of blood of the shuhada throughout the history. This is a path of sacrifice and ithar. If you go there for money, you better don't go. Anybody who goes for money will never be able to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never be able to serve the Imam of the time. Because the Imam were never after money. If they were after money, they would never leave. All of them were living a life of poor people. So it's better for those kind of people who want money out of it, and they are talking about how much money my son can make. It's better that they don't go. This is good for Islam that they don't go, they don't send their children. If they send, it would be bad for Islam. Because we are talking about somebody who can always sell the Al-Qiyam al-Ilahiyya and Islamic values for the sake of money. Because he's going after money. This is about the sacrifice. So we have Urafa Alim Rabbani, whom when the, you know, see Imam Ali al-Islam in this hadith that I recited upon you, where he has said that, you know, قَدْ حَفَّتْ بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels surround them. We have Urafa, when the time of Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, arrives, the angel of Allah comes and wakes him up for the Namaz al-Shab. They live in a different world. They don't stand in need of this money. They don't stand in need of how much, you know, what the people would say or what the people would not say. This is irrelevant for them because they don't belong to this world. So, this requires the tawfiq, and this requires a lot of jihad against the human desires and nafs so that we can reach فَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. So it's not easy that a person worships Allah till he reaches the state of yaqeen. In the khutbah, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that ibadullah, inna min ahabbi ibadillahi ilayhi abdan a'anahu Allahu ala nafsihi. O the servants of Allah, among the most beloved of the servants of Allah is the one whom Allah helped him about his nafs. Again, we are talking about fiqh al-nafs. Among the most beloved and mahbub servants of God, inna min ahabbi ibadillahi ilayh abdan a'anahu Allahu ala nafsihi, is that servant whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him about his nafs. That's how we become ghalib over nafs. We control. And in another, maw'izah of Imam Ali al-Islam in Nahjul Balagha to Kumail ibn Ziyad, who narrated this dua, Kumail. Imam Ali al-Islam says, Ya Kumail, inna hadhihi al-qulub aw'iyah fa khayruha aw'aha. O Kumail, the souls of these souls, inna hadhihi al-qulub, these souls are containers. Inna hadhihi al-qulub aw'iyah. Aw'iyah is the plural of vi'a, the dharf. Souls of the humans are like huruf, like containers. Fa khayruha, the best of the souls is that soul which has the largest capacity to accommodate. Largest amount of nur which you can accommodate in your soul. If your soul is so wide that it can accommodate the largest amount of nur, then you are the most superior person. But if your soul is such that you only think about, you know, money and the material benefits, and there's, because the nur and zulmat cannot combine, it's all zulmat, and every zulmat is going to remain here. Nothing of zulmat can accompany us in the barzakh, in the grave. What to talk of the day of judgment, which is already alamut tajarrud. So ya kumail inna hadhihi al-qulub awiya. The reason why we find Salman is superior than Abu Dharr, the reason why we find Abu Dharr belonging to the ninth level is superior than Miqdad, the reason we find Miqdad is higher than Ammar is because of the vi'a'un nafs, how much capacity the soul of a person has. How much did you accommodate? How much did you obey? How much ita'at and obedience you have? If you listen to one statement from Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, are you ready to obey? Or you have your own opinions, your own take, your own comments, your own complaints? One way or the other, the shaitan performs the ta'wilat and tawjihat and keeps us away from the obedience of the guides from the ghaib. هَجَمَ بِهِ الْعِلْمُ عَلَىٰ حَقِيقَةِ الْبَصِيرَةِ وَبَاشَرُوا رُوحَ الْيَقِينِ. So these ulama rabbaniyin are the ones that knowledge has attacked upon them. Look at the statement of Imam Ali. When we talk about the faqih who becomes mujtahid, he never said the knowledge attacks him. He has to attack the knowledge. Isn't that right? You have to work hard. You have to wake up in the night. You have to, لَا يُدْرَكُ الْعِلْمْ بِرَاحَةِ الْجِسْمِ. Ilm cannot be achieved with the rahat and comfort of the body. You have to wake up in the night. You have to work hard. You have to do so much efforts to learn the knowledge. That's what we talk about in about the regular learning process. But because we have to go after knowledge. But when it comes to the al-fiqhul khafi, the hidden fiqh, look at what Imam Ali says. هَجَمَ بِهِمُ الْعِلْمُ عَلَىٰ حَقِيقَةِ الْبَصِيرَةِ. Ilm is attacking them. Ilm comes after them. Look at the difference. How can you compare a faqih with a mutafaqqih who is Rabbani? There's no comparison. هَجَمَ بِهِ الْعِلْمُ عَلَىٰ حَقِيقَةِ الْبَصِيرَةِ. Ilm attacks them upon the haqiqat and reality of insight and basirat. وَبَاشَرُوا رُوحَ الْيَقِينِ. See, when one of the relatives of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayh, he is Ustadul Urafa. One of his relatives brought some fruit. He found a very good deal in the market. It was cheap. So she found a good deal in the market and it was cheap. So she brought something more than what was necessary for that day's use. More than what was necessary for that day's use. She brought the food. And Imam Rahmatullah alayhi, he said, you have performed two sins. One is the sin and ma'siyat of israf, and the second one is the ma'siyat of ihtikar, zakhira and dozi. Buying more than what you need and piling up in your house. When there was a qahat, there was a drought and famine in Medina for some short period of time. There was a qahat and famine and drought. Foodstuff was very scarce and limited in Medina. People were buying a lot because that's what happened. Whenever there was a qahat, khushksali, drought, people go and buy more and more, and gandum and sugar and salt and rice or whatever, different kinds of things. You buy more, you pile up in your house. This buying the stuff more in the time of the need is something which is severely condemned in Islam. This is the quality of ant, a namla, murche. And those people who used to do zakhira and dozi and ihtikar, zakhira and dozi in this world, they will be resurrected in the form of ants, not in the form of humans, because they developed the sifat of ants in their soul, and they were ants. They were behaving like ants, and they will be rejected according to the haqiqat of their soul. That was the reality of their soul. So basically, when this qahat happened in Medina, somebody came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said, people are buying more food stuff and piling up in their houses. Why don't you go and buy something more? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, نَشْتَرِي مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَوْمًا لِيَوْمٍ. We will buy along with the Muslims on daily basis. So we will buy what we need for one day of our life. Look at the behavior of Ahlul Bayt. So, basharu ruh al yaqeen, because they have yaqeen. So they are with the ruh al yaqeen. Wastalanu ma istaw'arahu al mutrifoon. And they make easy and soft what the mutrif people have made hard and tough. Who are the mutrif people in the society? The mutrifeen are the ones who are the real criminals of the society. Because people are like sheep and cattle. And in Arabic we have a proverb. We say, al-awamu kal-an'am. People are like cattle. You know, they just follow. You don't find leaders, you find people who are following. So people are like followers, blind followers. So when the mutrafeen set the bad examples in the society, they are actually the ones who are who have a share in derailing the community from the right path to the wrong paths. So mutrafeen, the word mutrif in Arabic is derived from the word turfa. Turfa means that abundance of ni'mat. Abundance of ni'mat in Arabic is called turfa. Mutraf is a person, mutrafeen is the plural. Mutraf is a person who has been given abundance of ni'mats of Allah. Wealth, money, a lot of money. Anybody who has a huge chunk of money falls in the category of mutraf, because he has turfa, he has abundance of ni'mat given to him. So see what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had said, don't marry a woman because of her money, because al-malu yutghiha. Money is going to make her taghi, you know, tughyan, starve, rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sharia. That's the nature of money. You know, we have to accept it, whether we like it or not, that's the reality. Don't marry a person because of her, of the money. So that's the nature of maal. Whenever we have abundance of maal, it will make us taghi and cause tughyan and rebellion against Allah's law and the zikr and yad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless if we have tazkiyat al-nafs like Hazrat Khadija, which is rare. In Arabic we say, an-nadaru kal-ma'dub. You know, the rare thing is just like something which is not available. It's not non-existent. So we don't mention the rare things when we are talking about the mainstream law. So let's keep the rare things as the rare category only. We are talking about the mainstream. The mainstream is this. Whenever you get money, that's the way it causes. It causes a person to become arrogant unless if we have the tazkiyat al-nafs. So the mutrafeen are the ones who have made it hard. What these scholars are making it making it soft and easy, mutrafeen are making it hard. Remember the hadith, the time is up, inshallah. I will continue that later on, inshallah. But I will end it at one hadith from Imam Ar-Ruwa alayhi salatu wassalam, where he had mentioned that four things kill your spirituality. Four things make your qalb, make your soul die. Four things cause your soul to die. And the first of those four is doing a sin after another. Doing one sin after the other. Anybody who performs one sin after the other, this person is killing his soul. He's making his soul die. Because when we do sin, we have to do the tawbah. You know, we have to do the tawbah immediately after the sin. Now that we didn't do the tawbah and we opted for another sin, this is going to cause the soul to die. And also, muhadasatun nisa. And also we find mumaratul ahmaq. That means doing mira and jidal and mumarat with an ahmaq and stupid person. So if you find ahmaq people, don't enter into mumarat and mira' and jidal with them, because this is not going to solve any problem you say and he says. And this will continue, and jidal and mira' is not allowed in Islam, and it's not ja'iz. And fourth of all, Imam Ridha alayhi salam said that mujalasatul mawta, that means sitting with the dead people. And somebody said to Imam Ridha alayhi salam, what do you mean sitting with the dead people makes your soul die? What do you mean by sitting with the dead people? He said, kullu ghaniyin mutrif. Every rich person, again the same mutrifin that we were talking about. So this abundance of wealth causes a person to basically, he has been left up to his own self, away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zikr. And this is the death of the spirituality of a person. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. If you have any question about the speech, you are free to ask. We have a couple of minutes for that.